life does serve up second chances. Today's guest got to grow his family company to success twice. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, growthinstitute.com. YPO member J.D. Ewing started his career working in the retail office supply company founded by his grandmother. Eventually, J.D. rose to the top and sold the successful company. But when the purchasers ran it into the ground, J.D. bought it back and grew the company all over again. Today, COE Distributing is the largest furniture-only wholesale office furniture distributor in the country. J.D. is also the majority owner of JD&D Enterprises, which owns office and warehouse flex space. J.D. was named to the Smart 50 list of Pittsburgh Smart Business Magazine. COE Distributing is an Inc. 5000 company and has been named a top 100 fastest-growing business by the Pittsburgh Business Times. J.D., welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How'd you get into the furniture business?
The entry into the furniture business was family-oriented. My grandmother started the original business back in the late 40s, basement of a bar in a small village, literally.
Had your grandmother been working in office space and was dissatisfied? How did that happen?
No,
highly unusual for a woman to start a business in the 40s.
In the 40s, yeah, absolutely.
Here in Pittsburgh.
So out of Uniontown, which is an hour south of Pittsburgh, out of necessity to provide for her two sons. She was twice a widower. She simply did it to survive. And she started with selling accounting supplies and repairing typewriters.
How did she even finance that at that time to be able to get the business going?
Just scrapped it together. And it was in a basement of a bar in a village called Hopwood, Pennsylvania. And expanded that into full service office supplies on a retail level. Continued to repair typewriters, then started selling all of the office accessories, you know, typewriters, mimeograph machines, if you remember. And my father came into the business in the early 70s, and we expanded the retail from one store to four, ranging from Morgantown, West Virginia, home of West Virginia University, into Pittsburgh, one in Uniontown and one in a town called Connellsville. And those continued to expand that retail presence and growth into the mid-80s and expanded it into furniture and fax machines.
Are you the oldest son?
I'm the oldest son.
Okay. So you didn't necessarily go, I'm going to go into that business. Was there a change?
I mean, I grew up in the business, as I said, stocked shelves, ran the mimeograph machine in my childhood years. And when I turned 16, driver's license in hand, made cold calls in the South Hills of Pittsburgh, selling office supplies and furniture on a retail level. I was 16 years old, knocking on doors. And that was a tremendous experience, but one that I never wanted to go through again. And the next year is when we started the wholesale business, and I got involved in that. The difference between working in a wholesale environment with predetermined customers, if you would, versus the general public.
Relationship-based versus hunt and kill.
Absolutely. And it was a much cleaner, much more enjoyable environment for me. So for the next three summers, I worked in the wholesale business, you know, did whatever needed to be done, took deliveries, so on and so forth. In my fall sophomore semester at Penn State, my dad gave me a call and said, hey, I've got to close this wholesale business. I can't run it anymore. I still have the four retail businesses. But that said, if you want to come back and take it over after the semester, you're more than welcome to. And I thought about it. 2 days later, I called him back and said, hey, I'm going to do that. I want to come back and run that business. So in December of 1989, I came back and took over the wholesale operation. Closed the books that year. We did $223,000 in revenue for the year of 1989. For the next 2 years, I was the only employee in the business. Unloaded the trucks, managed the warehouse, managed the inventory, made deliveries. In between deliveries, I made sales calls. Everything that we did, I did it. And every other Friday, I would leave Uniontown in a box truck, drive to Jasper, Indiana, sleep in the truck on furniture blankets. At 7 a.m., Greg from the factory we were buying from would knock on the back door of the truck, wake me up. We'd load the truck, and I'd drive back to Uniontown Saturday afternoon and then make those deliveries through the next week.
What was the shift that made you finally say, I need an employee?
Probably a lot of that, of continuous driving and wanting to grow the business. You know, if I wanted to sell, I couldn't be driving the truck. So I brought in a part-time secretary, part-time warehouse person to help with unloading the trucks and really made sales calls, continued while I was delivering. Every town that I went to, I'd get the yellow pages, tear out the office furniture, office supply section of the yellow pages, went back to the office, programmed all those numbers into my fax machine, and 50 blasts at a time would send out our specials for that week or that month. And that's literally how the business started to grow. And grew the business to about $21 million in 2006, sold it in a roll-up, stayed on to work for that company as we created a national footprint of office furniture-only wholesale distributors. They went bankrupt in 2009. I bought it out of bankruptcy in December of 2009, reopened the business in January 2010.
But maintained the national footprint.
Did not maintain the national footprint. Took back only our two distribution centers, one here in the Pittsburgh area, one in Charlotte, and went back into the business in that manner and started to do again what I did, only not as the only employee. So we had a lot of collective knowledge in the company. So January 2010, took it back over. For the first time in my life, I had to do a business plan and present to the bank to be able to make this work. And that was an interesting process. But it was a good process to go through. And we shared that with our employees as, you know, this is what we expect to do. This is what we have to do to survive and ultimately thrive. And the first year, we blew it out of the park. We more than doubled our projected revenue in the first year. We doubled that in year two. And by year three, we were over a $20 million company.
How many employees do you have today?
Today, we're pushing 100.
So a lot of entrepreneurs have difficulty taking that small business. You came in on the wholesale business. You didn't have experience. You'd left college and you were able to grow it and ultimately sell it. Now you're developing it into really more of an enterprise. I mean, 100 employees is that inflection point where, you know, it's a completely different approach. What do you attribute the fact that you were able to make that jump when a lot of others weren't? Where are your biggest gaps today?
I think what allowed me to do it was determination, a big part of it, learning. YPO has been a big plus for me in hearing stories and relating what we're going through to what others have gone through and how they handled it. And it's really invaluable from my perspective as to what you learn. And it's odd. In some ways, you don't really know that you're learning until you find yourself in a position that you can draw on what someone went through, you know, that you had a conversation with in forum 6 months ago. And you said, oh, well, I know what Bill did. And I'm not going to do that because his story wasn't pleasant at all. And then you also have those resources that you can pick up the phone and say, hey, John, this is what I'm dealing with. And how do you think I should play it? And within minutes, literally, you've got sound, solid advice from experienced people that you trust.
So what are your biggest concerns now that you're at 100, which is another launching point?
Mm-hmm.
What are your biggest concerns to get to the goals that you have?
Finding the right people, being committed to invest in the people continuously. And I think that's a big step to take, is to know that you have to continually foster growth within each individual within the company. And ultimately, that pays huge dividends to the company by doing that.
So if an executive came to you, they were in charge of developing an office for a company that was growing from 50 to 500 people and said, okay, JD, your 30 years experience, what are the top three things I need to keep in mind besides my budget?
Flexibility. Workplace peace, if you would. You're not going to please everyone, but you need to come up with a plan and a concept that allows the majority to be happy with what they're doing in work.
What do you do about the minority then?
What do you do with any situation where you can't get 100% agreement? Some people grin and bear it and others walk away and, you know, they do their thing somewhere else. And we've seen folks that try to please everyone. And what you end up with is really a hodgepodge of products that take away from the image that you're trying to create. You know, furniture provides one of the best opportunities for corporate image, because when someone walks into your space, whether you work there, whether you're a client or a vendor or a visitor, you're going to get a feel for what that company does and how they do it.
It affects the culture as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, JD, it's time for the rapid fire questions. You ready?
Sure.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
What do you like to do?
Name three of your personal core values.
Integrity, honesty, family.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
My grandmother. Just her outwardly friendly, open, and non-judgmental view of things.
What is your favorite business book?
Good to Great.
What are you reading right now?
Becoming Your Best by Steve Schallenberger.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Honesty.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Dishonesty.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Read.
Name one trait that makes an employee valuable.
Commitment.
What's your strangest daily habit?
Probably reading the printed paper.
I used to actually read it. Which paper do you read?
It's the local paper. It probably has 12 pages at best.
Nice.
So there's the obituaries, there's the headlines on local politics and the crime page.
And then you have it to wrap fish or line the birdcage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's excellent. What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Thanking them in person.
Well, good. Well, I get to thank you in person today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Wayne Naidu, who will share how reading autobiographies helped make him the businessman he is today. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit ypo.org.